Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Welcome back. Hare Krishna. First, I'd like to mention the reason that we ask for donations, because many people feel fine about going out on book distribution as long as they don't have to ask for a donation. So I figured I dispatched that with that section first, just to alleviate any anxiety you might have. Actually, the donation is the most interesting part of the whole transaction. Without that, it's not really a very fully meaningful interaction. First of all, in the Gita, Krishna says, do not teach this knowledge to those who are not austere or devoted. So how does one understand if somebody's austere or devoted when we're meeting hundreds, thousands of people every day? You interview them and say, are you austere or devoted? They don't even know what that means. However, when we ask for a donation, it gives them an opportunity to do a little austerity. It's a meaningful austerity, because the main thing that people think about as representing their life is their money. And when you ask for a small donation, they'll perform some austerity, and it's a kind of a devotion that qualifies them to understand the knowledge that you give them. And therefore, when you actually tell them that, it's not a sale. It's not that we need the money. We don't. We have plenty of money, and we also are supported by Krishna. We don't need anybody's money. The only reason we ask is when someone gives something in return for spiritual knowledge, it qualifies them to read it, to enter within it. And if you clearly explain that to people, that it's not for me. In fact, you can keep the book for free if you'd like. It's fine with us. But for your sake, if you do a little penance, then you'll actually be able to understand this book and appreciate it and enter into it. So when I ask people for a donation, I say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is that it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. And when you explain this simple fact to people very clearly, they will be happy to give you a donation. How do you feel now? Better? Yeah. Also, sometimes people say they don't have any money. That's not true. They do. The only reason they say, well, not the only reason, but one of the many reasons they may say that they don't have money is because they're not sure how much to give. They're actually good-hearted people. And when you ask for a donation, they're thinking, if I give too little, it may be an insult. And I don't know how much this book costs. If I offer $5, $10, that might be an insult to the person. And so they're hesitant. So they say, I don't have any money. Or if they think, oh, I should give a large donation to cover the book, they're thinking, oh, I maybe don't want to give a large donation. I want to give something medium or small. There's a couple ways you can help with that. One is you can tell them around how much it costs us to ship and print and store and transport and things like that. For a hardbound Gita, you could estimate around $10. So you could tell them, you know, it costs us around $10, and anything over that is a donation. And when you clarify that for people, it gives them something that's a little more clear, and then they can donate accordingly. Now, oftentimes people say, I don't have any money, and they say, I don't have any money, and say, like, I don't have any cash. And we say, perfect, we don't take cash. We take MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Carte Blanche, or Diners Club. So we're already here to take credit cards, right? Good. So oftentimes when you mention that, then they'll suddenly discover that they do have cash, and they'll give you something. In fact, that's why we first started mentioning that, even before, many years ago, before we were able to accept credit cards. people would say, I don't have any cash. And we say, perfect, we don't take cash, take credit cards. And they go, oh yeah, I do have some cash right here, I just forgot. And the other icebreaker, when people say they don't have any money, is to say, that's all right, just give a penny. And they say, oh, I don't have any money? No problem, just give a penny. And when you tell them give a penny, that it opens, it's like a wedge. It starts with a small end, and it opens up. This is what we call the penny principle. We coined that phrase when one day, Bhakti Kumar, when we were at the Christmas marathon, I told everybody, be very liberal, distribute as many Bhagavad Gitas as possible, door to door. And as he came to one door, the man looked at the Gita. He said, oh, you know, fine, but I'm not going to give you any money. And Kumar said, just give a penny. And he said, okay, you want me to give a penny for this book? I'm going to do that. So he goes to the back of his apartment, and he's rummaging through the drawers to see if he can find a penny. And his wife comes in. Kumar can see this through the foyer. And the wife says, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking for a penny. He said, what for? He said, there's this guy at the front door, some religious guy, and he's got this book. And he said, give a donation. And I said, I'm going to give him a penny for it. And so the wife said, let me see the book. So he starts looking at the book. She goes, this is a nice book. And she marched him out there and made him give $50. And so Bhakti Kumar came running back to us and he said, I can't believe it. I asked for a penny and I got $50. So you may not get $50, but what happens is it opens up something in their heart where they understand that really the amount isn't as important as the gesture. And once they do that, then many times they'll give you 5 or 10 or 20 or something like that. And the third principle to keep in mind is this: it all comes out in the wash. That means that by the end of the day, week, month, year, when we're liberal with distributing books, we always make up way more than the cost of the books. In fact, when you're thinking about how to give as many books as possible to people, and you're only considering the donation as a means to qualify them to read the book, then the Lakshmi will come in so quickly that you'll be up all night trying to figure out how to distribute all the extra books that you have. That's a problem that we have at ISV. We can't figure out how to give out books fast enough because we have so much Lakshmi coming in from different areas. And finally, when people really don't have any money, but they're interested in the book, they've showed interest, and they've taken their valuable time to look at it, I let them have the book for free. And the reason is they've paid attention. Time is more important than money. And they've paid attention. They've looked at it. They said, oh, this is very interesting. I really like this. I really don't have any money. There's nothing I can do. I can't even give you a banana or a grape. Then, nope, you gave your valuable time. You please take it and keep it with you. And you'll find if you take this mode of approach and understand what the donation's for, it's for them, not for us, then you won't be in any anxiety about the donation at all. Do you have any questions or any reflections on that? Yes, hey Mungi. Here comes the microphone.
Prabhu, actually our book distribution team leader, one of the challenges he expressed to me is that many times, once in a while, to make an exception for somebody who is paying attention and give the book free is okay, but there are a few devotees, like it's a general norm, they like to just give it free because they want to distribute the books. They're not so much into getting the donations, so he has this challenge that, you know, books go out, but donations don't come so much. So should that be a worry or should we just continue?
Yeah, what I said was a little different from just go out and give away free books. What I said was it's very important to have an exchange with people, yes, and allow them to give something in return. And we should not deprive them of the opportunity to give a donation. I consider it a deprivation and not allowing people to give a donation. So this mood that I'm so liberal, I give them away free, is not actually so liberal. You're depriving people. And to that end, I would like to say that this is a transcendental activity, asking for donation. Therefore, we can even beg from beggars. At the Jagannath Puri Mandir, every day we have a Harinam Sankirtan. For our yatra last year, we call it a Sankirtan Yatra. And we emphasized on the yatra book distribution, Harinam, prasadam distribution, and also going to holy places. In fact, in 1 week in Jagannath Puri, with 100 devotees, 28 of them from China and Japan, we collected over 1 lakh rupees in Jagannath Puri and distributed 5,000 books in Oriyan, Hindi, and Bengali, and distributed 5,000 prasadam lollipops and 5,000 Jagannath stickers. So the reason I bring that up is one day, while we were in front of the Jagannath Mandir doing our Harinam, there are professional beggars who come around, and while we're asking for donations from people, they also come and ask us for donations, sometimes in the middle of while we're asking others for donations. So this beggar asked me for donations, so I gave her a book. And then she said, no, give me money. And then I said, no, you give me money. And now people started to watch. This is an interesting matchup. And she was insisting, but I was insisting harder because I had conviction that actually her giving a donation would bring her benefit. The so-called moral or the ethics of me giving her a donation were extremely mundane. And her giving us a donation that I would give to spread Krishna consciousness would bring her benefit. And back and forth it went, and a crowd developed around us. People really wanted to see this. I don't know if they were placing bets. But I do know that when she finally relented, she understood what was actually going on because of my conviction, because I knew why I was asking. And I had no qualms about asking her, because it's not for me, it's for Krishna. She finally smiled, a big smile, and she pulled out a big handful of change, and she handed over, and the crowd went wild. They went, yay! So we should keep in mind, this asking for donations should be done in such a way that it does not disturb the mind of anybody. And the way to not disturb people's minds is to understand why you're doing it, and to do it out of a loving gesture to help them advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the reason we ask for donations. And to give books away free, liberally, without asking for donation is a kind of violence, actually. It's not allowing people to engage in devotional service. It's speculation that I'll just give them away free, that makes me more liberal. It's not. Does that help? Okay. So, yes, please.
I'm not sure if I can ask, but just that when we hear that Tirupati temple was built on book distribution, and we hear lots of stories, and there's going to be a temple here, so that's the plan. So sometimes there is this feeling that maybe book distribution team should try to bring revenue for the temple. And or make profit, that kind of a thing. And sometimes, because we are a smaller community, it's like whatever we get, we reinvest in just getting more books, distributing more books. So how should we direct ourselves?
Well, I won't tell you how to direct yourselves, because it's not my business to do that. But I will talk of general principles and what I've discovered over my lifetime. And that is that profit comes from unexpected places. It's not tit for tat. And that if you stand on basic principles and maintain them, then you'll find that the profit is not a problem. It comes of its own accord. In general, we are developing communities based on a sense of mission. And that mission is Jive Doi Krishnanam Sarvatarmasar. That is showing mercy to the living entities, giving them an opportunity to connect with Krishna. As Anuttama Prabhu said when the new temple opened in Baltimore, the most important part of this whole temple is the door. Going out the door and bringing people back in through the door. And the rest of the structure is meant to facilitate the results of our teaching Krishna consciousness to people outside. So there's a concept of the cart before the horse, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned this to his disciple, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, who became the great Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And that is that although the temple had been beautifully constructed in Calcutta by the huge donations that had come in, especially by one person, the devotees then became attached to the idea of having a big temple, and they even quarreled over who got which room. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we were better off in Ultadunga, which was the slum they lived in previously, in a ramshackle building. Because, he said, at that time, the spirit was for preaching. We want big, beautiful temples. At the same time, we want to maintain the spirit of using the temple as a facility to bring people back in for preaching, to manage the results of our preaching. And what I've generally found is that if you become overly concerned with making profit from preaching programs, then there's a kind of calculation that mixes into the consciousness that changes the way that you approach people. Even when I became a grihastha, for the first year or so, we were maintaining by book distribution. But I didn't even like that. I started a separate business. My wife started a very successful business, and I kept it separate for so many years because I didn't want that extra added consideration that this is for me, or this is for, and it could be this, not having that can actually bring in a lot more profit. It comes, when you have an approach in which you're thinking how to give mercy as much as possible, the equation is given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of God and ate and distributed its contents. And the more they distributed, the more the contents increased. So this happens when there's this mood of giving and not over-calculating. I've seen in some places where the books, there'll be a huge markup, you know, because there's this consideration. And oftentimes that puts this undue pressure between the distributor and the person who's receiving the book. Other ways that it can be done is to, I mean, you can separate the two. You can also subsidize book distribution. Communities are very happy to have put money into this yajna of book distribution, and the profits go way up. But as Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to go on preaching unlimitedly. And if we focus on that and think in those terms, then generally what happens is there's a mood that facilitates all kinds of growth in all areas. Something. Okay. So now, with our last point,
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please I accept my humble obeisances. Prabhu, sometimes when we go for book distribution, there are people who say that we would like to have a soft copy of the book and we don't want a hard copy. There's enough of books and material within the house. So how do we convince people that having the hard copy is more important than having the soft copy?
Out of 100 people, how many people say that?
Maybe
2 or 3, 5, 10, 15, 50? How many? out of 100?
I'm not exactly sure, but I've come across people. I may not be able to give the exact figure, but...
Well, give me a basic figure, an estimate. 10 out of 100? Say that, then give them a paperback. It's no problem. If somebody says, I'd rather have a paperback, fine.
Online, yes. E-copy.
An e-copy, oh. Yeah. Yeah, so they, the BBT books, coming, the next printing of all the BBT books will have a little barcode on them. And when you buy the hardback copy, then you'll also get, along with it, a e-copy for free. So that'll solve that problem. Okay? That's coming up next. What's that? Yeah. But in general, this is something people say because they would like to avoid the immediate transaction. And it is worthwhile to point out that these books are deities. And by actually keeping the physical deity, the physical book within the house, it's a worshipable item. It brings good fortune to the family. It's also in the science of Vastu. Every object that we have in our environment has an influence on us. And when you keep transcendental literature in your home, according to Shastra, there is a profound transcendental influence on your whole family and in your house. So much so that when the demigods look down upon the world, they see that there are certain places that are keeping Vaishnav scriptures and they worship those homes. Just like the government flies over these cities and they look with infrared camera to see how, if there's too much heat coming from any house, because then they know they're growing marijuana there. And they send the federal agents to go and check it out. So these books are not just for reading, they're for worshiping. And having the physical form of the book in one's home is very important. It helps the whole family. Are you buying this?
Yes.
Yes, and so do other people. So you have to, this is one of the ways to present it. It's actually true. Okay? Okay. Now, before we take any more, I have to move on because we only have an hour left and there's a lot to cover. I want to mention the monthly Sankirtan Festival. This is a huge success all over the world. Temples who do the monthly Sankirtan Festival, which means that you have a fun, organized outing at least once a month, where the whole community is invited to come together to go out for book distribution, Harinam, and Prasadam distribution together as a team. We don't do any individual scores. We only work together as a team to go out to do the right thing, which is to be outside for self-purification, to meet people, to give them an opportunity to take to Krishna consciousness. Usually it's a morning program, breakfast, a little training, which gives people confidence, and then some Sankirtan, and then come back for lunch and have some nectar stories. And there's a recipe for success. Make it fun. Emphasize teamwork, create fresh challenges, encourage the heck out of everybody. You know how to do that? Do you know? Do you know how to encourage people? All right, let me teach you. Imagine that everybody in this room right now has a sign around their neck that says, make me feel special. Can you imagine that in your mind's eye? A sign? Okay? All right, turn to somebody and make them feel special. Go. Come on. Turn to somebody, make them feel special.
Nice charcoal. You play nice charcoal. Really good. You play drum too? You also play mandolin? Harmonium? How old are you?
Okay, stop it. Stop making people feel special. Stop encouraging them. It's terrible. Don't you hate that when people do that to you? Well, this is a volunteer organization. People are here because they volunteered to come here. And it runs on this kind of encouragement. And if you encourage the heck out of people wherever you go, because every day there's more and more that gets into our hearts that discourages us from continuing the process of devotional service, internal, external, from every direction. And you should understand that people just need a little encouragement. They just need to be made to feel special, and they are special because they're spiritual souls. They have a history with Krishna. They're eternal, and they have a relationship. So realize that it's people that make the difference, and take time to encourage people. And then empower devotees. Give people an opportunity to move up really quickly. You need a vision, mission statement, some personnel, sankirtan spots, infrastructure, systems, and paraphernalia. These are just some basic things that help to develop the monthly sankirtan festival into an enterprise that grows and grows. So, first goal, as we'll have today, is to touch the pavement. So, what does that mean? It means today, when we go out for book distribution, we're not going out to distribute books. No one's expected to perform. The only expectation we have is to, in an organized way, get out the door and go to the spots that we've designated. And when you get out of your vehicles, to go to that spot and together touch the pavement with your right foot. And once you've done that, you're done for the day. Okay? Anything you do after that is completely extra. But when you put the bar very low, it's so low that everyone says, oh, anybody could do that, that's ridiculous, that's where you want to have it. So nobody feels like they have to perform, nobody feels like what's going to happen when I get there. We're only going out because it's the right thing to do. So remember, make this a goal to bring everybody out for Sankirtan. Here are some mantras that we use for the monthly Sankirtan festival. Book distribution is high sadhana. The reason we're going out is for self-purification. The other is always better service. If you have a view to writing down all the things, all the gaps that you find in your program, in your monthly Sankirtan festival, as they're occurring, you run and say, where's the cards? I don't have the cards. They were left back at somebody's house. So such and such is on vacation. You write that down in a list, put the cards in a central location. Something else happens, and you write that down. And if you make 3 improvements every month, then over time, you'll find that your entire organization will become enlivened because they'll see you're getting better all the time. So we call this the ABS principle, always better service. Next is a lot doing a little. Everyone can do just a little bit, and it'll add up to a huge amount because that's a stable model, and that's generally what people do, is a little bit, the best that they can, but that's fine. And also make it fun and easy. Everyone repeat after me, please. Book distribution is fun and easy. See? There you have it. So it's fun. You can't have any more fun than going out with the devotees in an organized way and setting up and just meeting people. You meet the most interesting people in the universe when you go in Sankirtan. And we emphasize teamwork. Work together. One team. Everyone cooperating. Then start small and then grow. And here are a few tips to keep in mind. Pick the right fruits. When you go to a tree to pick, and these are apricots. Apricots, they start off as little green, little almost berry-like entities. And you don't need to pick those. They're not ready yet, right? But when through the sun and the rain and the air and the soil, they start to ripen, you'll notice a change in them. They're not green anymore. They start to turn a little red, pinkish yellow, right? So in a similar way, when you go out to meet people or stay in to meet people, either way, in the process of finding people and introducing them to Krishna consciousness, you want to find the ripe fruits. Those are the people who smile at you. They're interested in what you have to say. They're open to taking the message. They'll stop and talk to you. And the unripe fruits, those people who don't want to make eye contact, they would not like to stop, they're not interested in talking to you, guess what? You don't not only do not have an obligation to not talk to them, but you have an obligation to let them go, just as much as you're not supposed to pick unripe fruits. As I mentioned yesterday, the preachers are meant to observe who are the people who are not interested in this and to avoid them, let them go. Those who are don't want to hear about it, those who are against what you're doing, you're not supposed to talk to them. So I'm saving you a lot of trouble by telling you that this is not a process of convincing anybody. It's a process of selection. You're going out to select the ripe fruits. And if you go through a lot of people, you'll find that there are ripe fruits who naturally come over to you. The other day, I was at the GBC meetings, and I made a proposal for the GBC meeting. They said, what do you want on the agenda? I said, I want us all to go out together on book distribution. And they all totally, they immediately agreed, because they're great souls. So on Tuesday night at 5 o'clock, we all walked out the door. And the devotees from the Chicago Temple set up two tables on the street where we could go. And we were out there for an hour, and I could tell that these senior devotees, even after a long day of having meetings, they didn't want to come back. They were so engaged and happy when they were out there, right, Subal? Subal and I were together. And so we met many types of people. Some people, we just let them walk right past. They didn't want to stop. Other people stopped, and they were interested enough to take a book. And so we went on like this. Some people gave very small donations. Some people gave large donations. And then on the way back, I stopped. Just before I got to the temple, there was a SUV parked about a block away, and there was a couple sitting in it eating some fruit. And I waved, as I'll teach you in just a minute, and they smiled at me. And so I walked over, and I engaged in a conversation. I gave them several books, and it turned out they were vitally interested in Krishna consciousness. The man told me, in fact, his wife confirmed, she kept confirming, yes, he's into this, he's into this. She said he's been into it his whole life. In fact, he took off his shirt to show me a tattoo on his back. He had the Buddha and all kinds of Tibetan art, and he showed me on his telephone, he had a Bhagavad Gita, some Bhagavad Gita from somewhere, and an Upanishad. And they wanted to talk more and more and more, and they gave a donation, and then I signed the book for them, and the next morning they wrote me a note saying that we'd like to hear more about this, we'd like to be connected, and if you're ever back in Chicago, please call us. Anything you need, you know, please let us know. So these amazing things happen. From that description, would you say they were ripe or unripe fruits? What is your name? And what is it?
Veda.
Veda? Veda says ripe fruit. Do you agree?
Yes.
So that's who you're looking for. Now look at, here's an interaction that took place about 10 years ago at the New York Rathayatra. I just took a picture of this. This person on the left just happened, he was from Scandinavia, he just happened to walk in to the Rathayatra, and he was very interested. And you can see his body language? Is he a ripe or unripe fruit? Okay, now look at this one. This guy on the right. That's a Kinchana Krishna on the left. This is many, many years ago. And is that guy on the right a ripe or unripe fruit? Correct. You are correct. He was telling him that he was going to hell. And so you could tell from the body language. Now look at that. Ripe or unripe?
Ripe.
How about this?
Unripe.
How about that? This? So you have to get used to that. And you have to be aware of your environment. Just don't go charging in and you say, oh, there's an unripe fruit, and you grab the branch and you say, I'll pull it off and drag it down the street. Why? What's the purpose? There's no purpose in that. You look and you see there's a ripe fruit. For instance, you can become expert at this. I'm a connoisseur of avocados. I think I've eaten an avocado every day of my life for the last 61 years, and I can look across the room and tell whether it's a ripe or unripe avocado because I'm so used to it. And similarly, when you have experience and moving around the public, you'll start to be able to tell who's unripe and unripe fruits by their demeanor, by the way they're interacting with you. Okay, so the next is Corn Explorer. Don't stick with just one kind of book distribution. 80%, yes. Do what you know how to do and do where you know we get the results. But also do 20%. Always try something 20% different. A new line, a new way of presenting, a new venue. But look out for the new things so that you can keep expanding. Here is our prime directive. Leave everyone with a good impression. What is our prime directive? Correct. We are ambassadors of goodwill. That's why we're going out. And we are in the? Correct. Our motto is? We are? We remain? We go out for? We do service? I save one soul at a time? Treat people with? Offer? Focus on? Preaching means? Don't be? Express? Practice? Make people? Why? Correct. Develop the habit of expressing sincere gratitude and thanks to people you meet, live with, and associate with. Be grateful to everybody, the people around you. Remember that. And if you extend that attitude wherever you go, you'll find an abundant world around you. Here are a couple resources that you can look at. They're easy to remember. ISKCONBookDistribution.com and DistributeBooks.com. They have many lectures, templates that show you how to increase your book distribution. Okay, so now, here's how to sell a book on its own merit. Bhagavad Gita. If someone will bring me one of the hardback yellow copies of the Bhagavad Gita, and also count the number of devotees that are in the room, and have at least half as many hardback yellow Bhagavad Gitas ready in the next few minutes, because we're going to do an exercise together. Okay, so Prabhupada wanted us to sell the book on its merit. Everyone okay? Say yes?
Yes.
Okay. Here are the steps. Are you ready? Thank you. Say yes again.
Yes.
Okay, first one is radar. Say?
Radar.
Qualify. Say it together. Okay, here we go. Here's radar. So, do you have any of these guys around here? They use a radar gun, and they'll shoot your car with a beam. The beam bounces back to their machine, and it tells exactly how fast you're going. You don't have to pass them out yet, because it makes a little clamor. Just pay attention for a minute, and then, sorry about that. Okay, so you have radar built into your system because you're living entities, you have mystic power. And I'm going to show you how to use your radar. Hold up your hand. There's a beam that'll come shoot out of your hand. And when you shoot somebody with the beam, it'll bounce off of them. It'll come back to you. And then you can look at them and you can get a reading whether they're a ripe or unripe fruit. Okay? So I want you to point your hand at somebody. Not at me, because I can't handle it all. And when I say the mantra, you're going to activate it. Go ahead, put your hands up, point it at somebody. One, two, three, hi.
Hi.
Now, what kind of reading did you get back? That's about right, because everybody in this room was a ripe fruit, unless somebody didn't have a good night last night, and they might be a little grumpy, okay. So the first thing you want to do is make a conscious contact with people. Keep the books out of your hands. Don't walk around like this. People notice you coming from a mile away. It's like you're about to attack somebody with a book. Just hang back until you find out whether they're a ripe or unripe fruit. Keep it out of your hand, in your bag, on the table. Hands-free is the best way to go. And then just use your radar. Say, hi. Hi. And you'll notice, if you just say hi to people, you'll immediately get a reading. Some people will avoid you. They won't even look. Ripe or unripe? Right. Some people look and they'll make one of those smiles where they don't show their teeth. Ripe or unripe? Yeah. And then somebody will put your hand and they'll go like, ah, hey. Ripe or unripe? Okay, and there are gradations in between each one of these, but as I said, you have to become expert, and you have to see. In the beginning, just pick the very ripe fruits. So if somebody's very ripe, you go, hi, and they go, hi, how are you? Okay, after you make a conscious contact and watch their eyes, because that's where it's going to tell you the most, whether they're ripe or unripe. Make sure you see how their eyes are interacting with your eyes. Then you qualify them. So one way to qualify is ask a question that doesn't have a yes or no answer, because if you give a yes or no answer, then they'll say no and just keep walking. So here's what I say. I say, California, where are you from? Or if I'm in California, I say, San Francisco, where are you from? I just ask, tell them where I'm from, give disclosure, and then say, where are you from? So California, where are you from? New York. From where? Westmont. Oh, Westmont's beautiful. Here, this is for you. California, where are you from? Minnesota. I love Minnesota. Fantastic. Vikings. All right. This is from California to Minnesota. So whatever they say qualifies them. But ask them a qualifying question, because if you just walk up and say, here, take this, they don't know why. But if you open the door by giving some qualification, ask them where they're from, and then appreciating where they're from. Oftentimes, too, you can see somebody's shirt. I noticed your shirt, by the way. Does that say Krishna? I love Krishna. I love these Krishna shirts. Fantastic. Good to see you. Now, here's another way to make a visceral connection with people. Did you see that? He's ripe. He was just distracted. The fist bump, don't overlook the fist bump, because this is a God-given, special technique for connecting with people. Because the handshake is a really big commitment. You really got to put your hand on somebody else's hand, who knows where it's been, and so forth. But the fist bump, it's a very friendly gesture, and it's accepted all over the world. I know some cultures don't even know it yet. When I go there and I do the fist bump, and they figure out what I'm doing, they go, wow, that felt good. In fact, sometimes I fist bump people from across the street, and they'll come over just to get the fist bump, because living entities want contact. They want some rasa. And if you're offering a little rasa, it's like, oh, come here. You know, just fist bump. And there's no big commitment to a fist bump. It's just, boom, that's it. But it connects you to people viscerally. So once you appreciate them, you can give them a fist bump, and you'll see. Try fist bumping somebody next to you. Go ahead. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. Yes, Mataji? Give her the microphone. She's got a question back there. Oh, no, women do it all the time. Because it's no big commitment. It's not like shaking hands with somebody. But in Western culture, it's fine. They'll be happy to. And you'll see, it doesn't commit you in any awkward way. It's a universal symbol of goodwill, and people really like it. And some people do fancy fist bumps. You know, some cultures, they're like, No, put out your hand. No, a lot of people do that. They're boom, 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 boom. And by the time you're finished with that, you know, you're like your best friends. It's like, hey, yeah, all right. You know, so qualify people first before you start unloading things on them. Yes? The microphone?
Prabhu, I mean, that thought itself is giving me a little bit awkwardness that I'm in this devotee attire and doing fist bumps with someone. So, I mean,
anything that you don't feel comfortable about, don't do it. And so sometimes people ask me, what clothes should I wear when I go on book distribution? I say, wear what gets you out the door. Because if you're not comfortable going out in a certain attire, then and, you know, it doesn't get you out there, why wear it? It doesn't, you know, we're not married to a certain style. Unless you're a sannyasi. If you're a sannyasi, you know, it's nice to wear the sannyasi. But honestly, when I go out in devotional clothes and I'm familiar with people and friendly with them, then they're happy to engage. But if it's not your style, if it doesn't work for you and it gives you some anxiety, there's always a workaround. You don't have to do it. It's like yoga class. They say, you know, if it hurts, don't do it. You know, we'll give you something else to do. Okay, so qualified. And then the next one is trust the hand. And I want you to notice in this picture how her hand, look, see our hands going out? Can you see that? Can you see her face? Does it look like she's like totally into it? Not really. But her hand is. So this is an interesting thing. Sometimes people, their mind's going like, don't take it. And the hand goes, no, I'll do it. Because that's what hands do. They just reach out and grab things. So you have to actually put the book in their hand. I see sometimes devotees are, you know, they never let people actually touch it. They're like, you know, this is that, you know. But if you actually put it in their hand and let them hold it, watch. Did you see that? The hand just reached out and grabbed it. All you have to do is extend it. And so trust the hand. Let them have contact and put it in their hand. So as we're handing the book over, we use this mantra. Now, this is a template. There are hundreds of templates. I'm just teaching you one. And if you learn this one, then you can innovate and do many other templates later. But learn this one well, and you'll see it's a jumping off point where you'll be able to be very confident in book distribution. Repeat after me. Books on yoga and meditation, that show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. Okay, you say. You say. Yes. Show you how to get free from stress. Everyone together? Now, I'll teach you another very important principle, and that is that in any language, the punctuation mark that is the most important is the question mark. So questions are powerful. If you use a question, it directs the conversation. Whoever's asking the questions is leading the conversations. Repeat after me. Whoever's asking the questions is leading the conversation. Become a master asker. You have to become a master asker. Don't go telling everybody. They don't want to hear you tell them. If you ask questions, you lead them in the right direction. So throughout this presentation, you'll notice that there's questions. The question holds the whole thing together. Make a question mark with your finger like this. What does it look like? It's a hook. So a hook will pull things in the direction that you want it to go. It also looks kind of like a tennis racket. And so if somebody hits you a question that you don't like or can't answer, you can use a question mark as a tennis racket and knock it back into their court. Like somebody says, this is Hindu. Try to answer that. Nobody can answer it. Nobody knows what a Hindu is. So say, is this Hindu? Then you can knock it back and say, but what do you mean by Hindu? Then they're in big trouble. Then say, I don't know what a Hindu is. Oh, well, I don't either. Sorry, take the book with you. Okay, so after we say the mantra, books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress, I'm handing the book over. I'm putting it in hand. Prabhu, come over here, please. You can sit right here.
sit right on this. Right there. Okay, so books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. And you'll notice that as I say the last part of it, the book's going in his hand. Watch this again. There's an arc to the book. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. Now, what do I do now? Now, there's dead air, right? Ask a question, because questions lead the conversation. So then, and it holds everything together. Whoever's asking the questions is leading the conversation. So here's my question. You've heard of stress, right? Yes. Now here's my next statement. Really? You don't look stressed. You look spiritual. So this is a very powerful psychological thing, and I want you to say this. Ask this question. Say this. If you don't learn anything else from this seminar, remember this. Use this question. What's your secret? When you ask people this question, what it does is it changes your relationship. Because subtly, when you're approaching people, what's happening is you're intervening in their life. You're trying to give them something that you think they don't have, and they know that. And not all living entities appreciate that. They're thinking like, why should I take your form, your lifestyle? Why should I take your religious process? Why should I take anything from you? Because they have their own lifestyle, right? But this changes the relationship. Now what you're doing is you're saying, you're the teacher, I'm the student. What you teach me, how you've become like this. And you've also elevated them to their natural position by this question. You've heard of stress before, right? Yeah. Can somebody give them the microphone? You've heard of stress, right?
Yes.
Really? You don't look stressed. You look very peaceful. In fact, you look spiritual. What's your secret?
I chant every day.
He chants Hare Krishna. I knew it. I could tell by looking at you. Now, if he's transcendental. So he says, I chant Hare Krishna. What does somebody in the mode of ignorance say? What's your secret? They say, I smoke marijuana. Or I... And they'll tell you that. It's like, I smoke a lot of weed, man. And then somebody else, you say, what's your secret? And they'll say, you know, I work really hard. Or, you know, I run. Or and somebody, I do yoga. It's like getting trending to the mode of goodness. Or, you know, I'm a vegan or something like that. Or they'll tell you, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim or whatever. They'll tell you something with their secret. And if they don't have a secret to tell you, they can't think of anything, then you suggest one for them. Then you say, you must just come from a good family. And they'll say, no, I don't. And it's like, then you just must be a natural. Now, what if somebody says, you say, you don't look stressed, you look spiritual. What? You've heard of stress before, right? And they go, yeah, I'm not stressed at all. So what do you do then? Same thing. You say, yeah, I could tell by looking at you. You don't look stressed. You look spiritual. So either way, it's okay. So then when you ask, what's your secret? And tell me your secret. You chant Hare Krishna?
Yes.
I could tell. I could tell you, and your demeanor, the way you react to his question, his answer is, I knew you were into this. I knew, I could tell. So now's the time when you take the book back. So what's your secret? Chant Hare Krishna?
Chant Hare Krishna.
Fantastic. I could tell. Here, I'll show you really quick. Now, how fast am I showing him? Say really quick. Yeah, how fast is it? How fast? Yeah, because their mind is still thinking, is this a Bhagavatam class coming up here? Or, you know, am I going to get to leave anytime soon? That they want to go. The mode of passion is going, especially if you're by a stoplight. The light changes, they go, I got to go. Why? Because the light just changed. You don't want universal transcendental knowledge? No, because the light changed. I got to go. That's the kind of schedule people are on. So you have to tell them, this is really quick. Now, here's what you show them. In sales, oftentimes... when you go to sell something, the company will give you a flip book. And in the flip book, all you have to do is go through each page. It's a medical instrument that shows you how to administer this medicine for anesthesiology. And each page takes you through, tells you, you know, why it's made in the, to the highest specifications, made out of stainless steel, It's made by geniuses. You know, boom, boom, boom. You go through each page, and then you come to the end, and then they decide to take it because they've seen all the benefits that they're going to get from it, right? So this is not only the flip book, it's also the product. It's both in one. So this is a flip book, but also they buy the flip book when you're done. So here's what you show them. First, turn to the back, and on the back cover, you'll see these names. You'll see Thoreau, Emerson, and Gandhi. Everyone say Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi. Now you can add in, for Americans, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, Tupac Shakur. Yeah, he read this book. He appreciated it. So Tupac Shakur, say. You know who Tupac Shakur is? He was a rap artist. He's very famous amongst certain communities. So then we turn to the Sanskrit inside the book and show them the Devanagari and say, can you read this? Say no.
No.
No? They say, then you, it's a little humor, you just say, I was just testing you. Say. And then we go on to explain, this has been translated in English over 400 times. Out of all the translations, this is the most popular in the universities. And then you turn to the front. And now on the front, you'll see these universities. And at the bottom, you'll see University of Southern California. And then on the next page, you see Georgetown University. Prahlad? Okay, give him the mic.
A lot of the times when we go to Indian people, we're like, oh, here's the book.
That's different. I'm going to tell you how to do okay. Indian people after this.
Okay, sure.
It's really simple, actually, so, but it's completely different. This is for everybody but Indians, okay? Have a seat. So you show University of Southern California and Georgetown University. All you have to do is mention them. Say, see, this Georgetown University and University of Southern California. Next, you turn to the changing bodies. Now, you have to get good at turning, because if you take too long, they'll walk away. So here's changing bodies, and on the changing bodies, you hold the book so they can see it like this, and you say, look it, we start here, we end up here, we're just passing through. You see this? See, we're just passing through, and then ask them, where are you in all this? Let's see where he says. Let the record show he said somewhere near the middle. And so then the next page, you show them this Vidyavinaya Sampane and say, look it, a self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees God is within everyone's heart. And then next thing, you ask a question. You've heard of karma, right? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Use the mic.
It's action and reaction.
Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. What does karma mean to you? Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. Okay, now, when you do the whoa, you really got to step into it and go, whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, this would be a better world to live in. Okay, now you ask me. Ask me. You ask me, because you got the mic. Go ahead. What does karma mean to you?
What's karma mean to you?
Oh, you know, there's rabbits, and there's birds, and there's rainbows, and stuff goes around and around in the world. Do it. You ready? Okay, you all do it. You go like this. Put you get your thumb out like this. Whoa. Go like this. Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. Okay, try it again. Ask me. No, what does karma mean to you? You're asking me. You know, it's like cosmic. It's stuff happens, and it's weird. Better place, correct. So this is, you're encouraging them, because the fact is, it's amazing. They know something about karma, they can entertain the thought. And if they don't know anything about it, then you can even tell them. Like, they say, I don't know what it means. It's like, you know, what goes around comes around. They go, yeah, like that. And then you go, whoa, I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, give them credit. Okay? This is a very powerful part of the presentation. It helps connect. Yes? If you don't feel that it's a good idea, then try to be a little more generous and appreciate that they made an effort. Okay, so now comes some humor. So, you know this picture in the Bhagavad Gita? Okay, here's what you do next. You say, what do you do professionally? Say that. They say, I'm a civil engineer, I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm a dancer. Okay, so here's what you say. What do you do professionally? The guy says, civil engineer. And then you point to the picture and say, really? This guy used to be a civil engineer. He says, Sunday school teacher. Really? This guy used to be a Sunday school teacher. As a dancer. I'm a dancer. Really? This guy was a dancer. You say it with a straight face. And 50% of the people will laugh. And the other 50% of the people go like, really? And you go, no, not really. And then they crack up. And right as they're laughing, and they will laugh, I guarantee you, then you hand the book back. And as you hand the book back, you say, we don't sell it like in a bookstore. We just ask for a donation. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask is that it's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. Now, I have a card I'm going to give all of you, and on it has every one of these steps, including this mantra. And as you, when you go out, you can even just hold it and follow it. People will be charmed that you're following a card. You can just say, hold on, let me tell you the mantra. It's actually really true. If you're just genuine and they say, I'm just learning how to do this and I'm going to tell you, you go through it, they'll take a book from you because they'll appreciate the fact that you're genuine. So don't try to perform out there. Don't try to be slick, memorize everything. Just be real and present from your heart and just be like natural with people and they'll love you for it. Okay, you can say it costs 10 to print, ship, and anything you give over that is a donation. If you'd like to say that, you can. Or you can say give the most you can. Oftentimes, when they hear some comebacks, they say, I already know about this. And we say, that's great. I could tell by looking at you. Say that. That's great. I could tell. Say, all the time people say stuff like, I already give donations. And you go, I know. I could tell by looking at you. That's why I picked you out. And so the general principle is honor objections. Whatever objection comes, you honor it. You don't resist it. You don't try to argue with the objection. You appreciate whatever they said. It's like I'm not interested in this. I know, I could tell by looking at you. Okay, now there's an I'm a blank. What are some of the blanks people are where they... Christian, okay, watch. Give me another small book. Somebody give me a small book, like a POY or anything. Whatever book you have available really fast. Or one of these books. Okay, here. Okay, he's a Christian. Books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress.
I'm a Christian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, this is one's for you. And so, you know, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever, it's like be a Buddhist now. The books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from stress.
I'm a Buddhist.
Buddhist. Oh, okay, here. Say, he's a Buddhist, but he's also handing the book back. That's important. Say, I'm a Buddhist and start giving it back. I'm a
list.
Okay, now the thing is, when somebody gives it back, you can't force them to take it. Accept it back. Once the mind rejects it, you don't start pushing back. Because the more you resist, then he will persist. So if whatever they do, just honor it. So he's giving the book back. I'm a Buddhist. Oh, I'm sorry. Here, this one's for you. See, the Buddha taught that the body's like a house, and we just live in the house. At the end of this life, the house is gone, and we move on to the next destination. And you begin to speak their language and appreciate what they are, but don't resist it, and honor their objection. Oh, that's great. Then I'll show you this one. Change the book. Are you selling this? Does anybody ever ask you that? Here's the answer. We refuse to sell it. It's too valuable. We just take a donation. So sometimes the first thing people say when you hand over the books, you say, are you selling it? That's what they want to know right away.
Are you selling it?
We refuse to sell these books. They're too valuable to sell. We only ask for donations. They cost about $10 to print. Everything you give over that is a donation. Then they'll be happy to help. As long as you're not selling it, it's okay. How much should I donate? He's already to the end. How much should I donate?
How much should I donate?
We try to keep it under 100, but in your case, we're thinking about making an exception. Okay? Everyone say that. Core and explore. Go outside your comfort zone. Try this and see what happens. You'll be amazed. These are mantras. So next stage is they give a donation, right? So here's a young lady giving a donation to Madhukanta Prabhu. And then so the next thing you do after you take the donation is you teach them the Maha Mantra. So here's how you do it. Do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to teach you a beautiful prayer from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up love for God in your heart. Are you ready? Yes. Please repeat. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama. Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Okay, so now I hand the book. He's got the book already. And I say, I can teach you the, do you believe in the power of prayer? Say no. Say no.
No.
Perfect. I'll teach you a mantra. So honor their objection. Whatever they said, perfect. I'll do something else. You don't say, no, 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 you should believe in the power of prayer. They'll just resist you, then walk away. Because I don't believe in the power of prayer. Oh, perfect. I'm going to teach you a mantra instead. And then teach them the Maha Mantra. Just explain it in a different way so that they can appreciate it. And so next, after they repeat the mantra, and you give them a mantra card so they can follow along with you, two words at a time, then you give them some prasadam. So always take prasadam with you. So you can offer lollipops. Prabhupada authorized this in 1972. Bhattu Gopal Prabhu started distributing candy canes for Christmas because he saw the Salvation Army doing it. Some devotees complained directly to Prabhupada, said, "Why they can't do that." And Prabhupada wrote back, he said, "What is the harm?" He said, "In India all the time we go to the shop and we buy sugar candy, simple ingredients, and we offer it to the deity and we give it out as Mahaprasadam." He said, "You can do that. You can offer it to the deity." The letters there in the Veda base, you can look it up. So there are organic lollipops there. Even Dum Dums have simple ingredients. You can offer them, and there's a way in which when you carry around prasadam wherever you go, you'll be the most liked person in the town. Give everyone prasadam. So at the end, give people prasadam, either that you buy as lollipops, because everybody likes lollipops, even monkeys in Vrindavan like them. Or cookies, something that they recognize that you can give them prasadam. And then get their contact information if they're interested. Make sure that you have a way to write down their number or their email address so you can stay in touch with them. And then finally, thank them for taking their valuable time. Say, thank you for taking your valuable time. It's been a pleasure meeting you. Actually, I usually say it's been an honor meeting you. And what's our prime directive? Yeah. So if somebody doesn't want to take a book, do we care? No, we don't. Because our prime directive and our goal is to leave everyone with a good impression. Whether they take a book, don't take a book, just leave them with a good impression. Now, if you go out with a goal that everyone's going needs to take a book, you're going to be very disappointed, because not everyone's going to take a book. Only the ripe fruits are going to take a book. But if you go out with the idea of leaving everybody with a good impression, whether they take, don't take, whether they look at you, don't look at you, then you're going to be very satisfied, because that's something you can live up to. You can go out of your way to be kind and gentle and respectful to people and leave them with a good impression. Are we going out to sell books? No. We're going out for self-purification, because book distribution is high sadhana. And while we're out there, we're going to leave everyone with a... And if you do that, you'll sell plenty of books as a concomitant factor of your being out there. Books will go out naturally. It's not the main goal. So I've talked about our legacy last night. We talked about the four laws of book distribution and the monthly Sankton Festival. And now what I'm going to ask you to do is an exercise, and I'm going to describe the exercise to you first. Let's thank Prabhu very much for... he was a very expert subject. A little more. Come on, make him feel special. That's nothing. Give it up. See, in your own community, you know, you really want to go out of your way to make people feel special at every opportunity that you can. That's what keeps the community vital. Take extra time to go out of your way to make people feel special when they do things. Yes, Mataji?
In our community, Vedanj and Lalita, please stand up. These are our youngest members for the past 4 years. Last time when you did this seminar in Chicago 4 years ago, ever since that, everyone... every month, whether it's snowing, it's raining, these two go out on Sankirtan.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. He's nine years old and she's 11. So 4 years back, they were really little. And they are the inspiration behind our group. So I really wanted to make these two feel special today. Thank you.
Well, I'm really touched that you took it up and you kept going out. It's really something that is noticeable. Krishna will notice you. All the great acharyas will notice you. And obviously, all the devotees are noticing what you're doing. Do you like it? It's fun? Yeah. The children learn something by going on Sankirtan they don't get anywhere else. Because they actually get to interact with the people of the world, and they get to see how the modes of nature are working. Narada Muni, when he was a little boy, walked around and saw God's creation. And when kids also learn to handle rejection, anybody ever reject you? And if you learn how to handle it? This is something some people don't learn their whole life. But when you go out on Sankirtan, you learn how to handle rejection, you learn how to communicate to different cultures. You learn something that you can't get with an MBA or any other kind of education. It's very valuable. Thank you for doing that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to stand up and make two rows, at least two rows, but don't start yet because I'm going to time you how fast you can put it together. So what you're going to have to do is organize yourselves in whatever way you can, move whatever you have to move out of the way so that there's no obstruction. Because we want rows. How many rows you make, that's up to you. Make it efficient. And on one side, there's somebody holding a Bhagavad Gita, and then a partner facing them that doesn't have a Bhagavad Gita. And we're going to start, and you're going to do this template. I'm going to give you a card also, just so in case you forget, you can follow the card. And you're going to go one repetition, and then stop. And then we're going to take a couple comments, and we're going to go the other way. Now, the Baltimore Temple was able to get set up within 52 seconds. So let's see, without breaking any projectors or anything, how fast you can go. On your mark, get set, go. You guys are fast.
Do you want me to film this part too?
Maybe a little bit of it, just to give a taste. And, yeah.
Okay, because they don't have sound.
Okay. There's no sound for anybody?
Yeah, I mean,
no. Yeah, but just so they can see what's happening.
You just shut the sound off on yours?
Yeah. Does someone know where the extra microphone is? I'd like to announce the new world champions. And I predicted this last night. I said Naperville is going to be number one. But you can tell a lot from how organized you are as a team by how fast you can do things like this. And you just beat Baltimore by about almost 28 seconds. So congratulations. Okay, now, first thing is, when you're out distributing books, you want to be cool as a cucumber in an icebox. You stand back like this. You don't run after people like this. Let them come to you. You're picking the right fruits. So generally, you keep the book out of my hand, and you lean back and remember, hi.
Hi.
California, where are you from? Where?
Chicago.
I love Chicago. This is from California to Chicago. Books on yoga and meditation that show you how to get free from stress. You've heard of stress before, right? Really, because you don't look stressed. In fact, you look very peaceful. You look spiritual. What's your secret?
Chanting.
Chanting. I could tell. I knew you were into something. Here, look, I'll show you really quick. Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles. Hold this for me. Tupac Shakur. Can you read that? I was just testing you. It's translated from this ancient language, Sanskrit, into English, and it's been translated over 400 times. Out of all the translations, this has become the most popular academically. Georgetown University? University of Southern California? Georgetown? You've heard of that, right? And here it is in a nutshell. We start here. We end up here. We're just passing through. Where are you in all this? Really, you're here? I'm over here. I was here 5 minutes ago. All right. Look, a self-realized person treats everyone with respect because he or she sees there's a spirit within everyone's heart. You've heard of karma, right? What does it mean to you? Whoa. I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, it'd be a better world to live in. What do you do professionally? What? What kind of software? What kind of programming? This guy used to be in Java. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. It's an ancient tradition. When you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations and allows you to enter deeply within the knowledge. He only has $1. Okay. We don't take cash, generally take MasterCard, Visa. Would that be helpful to you? You don't have a card? So, do you have a cell phone? Do you have a car? A house? Do you have a house? Okay, we'll take that. Okay. Just let the record show that he gave me $20. And now, do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Beautiful. I'm going to teach you this prayer from Sanskrit. It's a little hard to pronounce, so I'll say it one time and you'll know how to do it. Are you ready? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. You are a natural. Very nice. And this is some prasadam. This is for you for being so kind. Thank you for taking your valuable time. It was an honor to meet you. Thank you. And if you'd like, I can put you on our mailing list. We have information about classes and other things you can learn. Would you like to do that? Great. Let the record show I just took his information. Okay, so now when you do this, thank you. Give him a hand. Come on, give it up. Make him feel special. Thank you very much. Whose book did I steal? Okay. All right, thank you. So don't make problems for your partner. We're not doing this to make problems. You're just going to get through this as quickly as you can without any problems. What you're supposed to do as a partner is not make obstacles and say, oh, this, that. Just say, help them along. If they forget something, help them. We just want to get the rep. When you're done on this side, stop. Don't go the other way. Stop, and then we're going to take a couple of quick reflections and go the other way. Are you all ready?
Yeah.
Cool as a cucumber in an icebox?
Yeah.
You ready to go? Yeah. On your mark. And don't forget hi. Make eye contact. On your mark, get set, distribute. Okay. So take about 30 seconds to finish up the first rep. And if you're already finished with the first rep, raise your hand. If you're not finished with the first rep, raise your hand. If you're still going, first one. Okay, 20 more seconds. Finish up. A question.
When I'm going through the first step, and he's very convinced and he gives here, is the $20. Is that okay with you? And what should I do? Still continue?
You mean if he circumvents this process and gives you 20 when you first ask him where he's from? Well, for this exercise, don't go through the rep. We're doing this for practice. So don't circumvent the process. Let it go all the way through. Don't add obstacles or any kind of abnormalities. Just go along with it and make sure it goes through. But if you're out in public and somebody just says, oh, here's $20, I love the book, you don't then say, no, hold on, I want to show you the whole thing. So you'll find sometimes people, you know, it's like, they'll say, I'm in a big hurry, and say, answer a question with it. Are you in a big hurry? Yes, I'm in a big hurry. You want me to show you really quick? And they say, yes, show me really quick. They say, these are spiritual books. They're meant to wake up love for God, and we just ask for donation. That's really quick. And then it's just like, okay, I'll give a donation. And they'll take it. Okay? All right. So now let's go the other way. You can just keep going at your normal speed. We're going to go the other way. And if anybody needs a card, if some of you didn't get a card, okay, here's a card for you. Then go the opposite way so you get your reps in. Try to make a few mistakes. This is the way that you get good, is you make mistakes and use this time to practice.
Since I don't have so much practice, there's always this nervousness, you know, and, I need to speak now, and what is the next thing? So how to deal with that, the nervousness?
Okay, let me teach you a trick to help you deal with nervousness. And now many of you didn't know this, but there's a little switch on the back of your neck. I want you to feel for it right now. Put your hand back there. When you switch this switch, you turn from human mode. Humans are always full of anxiety, right? And then you turn into a robot. And when you turn onto robot mode, robots don't care because they're not human. They just do whatever they do, and they walk around and they go, hi, California, where are you from? Perfect, I'll show you one too. And so go on robot mode. So when you're anxiety walking out the door and the mind's saying, I think my mom's calling me, I want to go home. You know, just flip the switch and say you're a robot, get in the car. You know, and just go out and do your thing. And don't worry about what happens. Who cares? You know, it doesn't really matter what anybody says or what happens. Because we're not going out to perform. We're just going out for self-purification. So don't worry about it. Just go out and be yourself and be natural and do the best you can. And you'll be surprised. Even if you make the dumbest mistakes, the ripe fruits are going to take a book anyway. They're out there and we're really selecting. We're not trying to convince people. But you're just learning this so you feel a little confident. Of it, you know what to say. You can put together a few good thoughts. And when you go out to practice, it's really valuable to make mistakes. Every time you make a so-called mistake, you're going to learn something, get stronger. And the people who are the strongest and they have this really good repertoire are the ones who have made millions of mistakes. I've made just thousands, tens of thousands of mistakes, and each time I learn, like, don't do that, do this. So this is a great opportunity to become a Sankirtan warrior by practice, okay? All right, on your mark, getting ready to go the other way, get set, go. Distribute. Hi. One more minute. Finish up. Seconds, finish up. Ten, nine, eight, seven. Six, five, four, three, two. One. Hare Krishna. How many of you have not finished the second round? Okay, could everybody please sit down? We're going to do just a little bit of follow-up because many of you have questions. So, one thing I noticed. Is that some of you, you can take a card. Some of you were innovating a lot. And not following the script. I recommend that you learn this script rather than making something up. After you learn the script, you can make it up. And you can innovate. But first, learn this basic scale and this basic approach so you have it down. And some of you have questions. So I want to answer them as a group so that you get the answers to the questions. We're going to just take a few minutes for this. And if you'll pass this mic around. Now, before I answer a lot of questions, let me say this. There are always going to be variations in what happens. So the fact is that stuff happens, but it doesn't happen all the time. So if it's something you have a question about that's 1 out of 100, I'll answer it. But you have to keep in mind, you don't have to worry about it so much. It doesn't happen very often. Oftentimes our mind thinks about the things that are going to go wrong, but you know, 9 times out of 10 they're going to go right, or even 99 times out of 100. Okay, go ahead. A few questions, because we're going to have breakfast next. Go right ahead.
Regarding the compliment, it seems like if you're not conscious of appreciation that person has known about karma or accepting what karma definition feels like very superficial.
Well, try not to be superficial. Try to reach for a different level, and that is appreciate the very fact that the person, you know, attempted to give an answer. And if it's an absurd answer or something like that, you don't have to give a deep compliment. Just, you know, give some kind of a neutral appreciation. But like, you can just say, whoa, that's an interesting explanation, rather than saying, you know. But if you just appreciate the fact that they're a spirit soul and that they're there standing with you and trying to, you know, go along with you, that's enough so that you can appreciate him a little deeply. So you may be saying something that sounds superficial, but on the inside, you can be appreciating who they actually are. Just like when we say, you look spiritual. And the person may be, you know, like a wreck. But I'm saying it sincerely because I'm actually looking and saying, this person is spiritual. They're a spirit soul in this body that's a little bit disheveled right now because they're beaten up by the modes. So try to go for the deeper level and appreciate what they're actually saying. The acharyas do that. when Shishupal and others blaspheme Krishna, they say, actually, here's what he means. Have you heard that in the Bhagavatam? There are many cases where demons say something, and then the acharyas, because they're so expert at Sanskrit grammar, they say, actually, he was glorifying the Lord. So they give them the benefit of the doubt. So it's that kind of mood. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
So in qualifying, you know, most of us are going to be in Naperville.
Yes.
And we're all from, you can say, Naperville or the suburbs. Can we innovate there? Like if we see a t-shirt saying Cubs, or should we stick to the script?
What kind of, are there divisions in Naperville? Well, then you can say something more general. Like Vijay Prabhu, he was born in Germany, even though he's an American. He said, I'm Germany, where are you from? Just take it out to a different level. So, you know, if I'm in my neighborhood, I'm in San Francisco, I'll say something more general. It's like, I'm from Chennai, where are you from? Or, you know, take it to a different place. Yes?
Yes, Prabhu, I have two questions. What is the, if who have a poor language, and English language is poor? And what,
if somebody how, speaks a different language?
No, yes, is something speaking different language, or we have poor language, how to conversation?
Oh, yeah. Most of communication is nonverbal anyway, so you don't have to be really articulate. So one thing is that when people speak a different language, you just have to learn one or two words in their language. It really helps. Like in Mandarin, they say, ni hao, say ni hao. See, that's enough Chinese for you. And the other thing that you'll get equipped with here very soon is language cards. It's like when we were in Jagannath Puri, we sold 5,000 books. None of us spoke Aryan. And a lot of them were Chinese speaking to Aryan people. How did they do it? We had a little card. And I have a video of this on Facebook where, you know, I approach people and I throw off my shoes, because that's what they do in Orissa when they're talking spiritual things. I take my shoes off, then they take their shoes off, then I hand them a book. And I don't say anything. I just hand them a card that says, you know, give a donation. And then they just give a donation. So also, if you meet somebody that speaks Mandarin, that's all they speak, you give them the book in their language, and then you hand them the card that has their language on it that says, these are spiritual books, give a donation, and they'll give you. No problem. And you can also take it upon yourself to learn a few words in each language, because it's really easy to do. If you learned Java, you can learn this. No problem. What else? A couple more? Yes?
On the card, do we have to say everything or just parts of it?
Just whatever you can handle. It's there as a guide, but it's nice if you learn the script, because it's a script that works. And if you go through the whole thing and you learn it, then later on you can trim it down if you need to. Yes?
It's like most of the places are deserted and people are traveling in the cars. How to catch the people?
In the cars?
Like when I go out, most of the, I see, like I walk for 1 hour and I don't even see a guy in the street. It's just deserted.
You mean when you're on distributing books?
Yeah.
Well, you should go to a place that has a population. That helps. Because if you go to a place that doesn't have any population, you're going to have a little, some gaps in between. But I don't know if I'm understanding your question properly.
Yeah, like I try to do near my home or near the neighborhood places,
yes.
But everyone travels in a car. No one walks in the street.
Okay. I would say either try to find ways that you can meet people in their homes or go to shop, but you got to have some population. Yes. Oh, right. Okay, the Indian. I need a Bhagavad Gita, please. So with Indians, they're different because they know Bhagavad Gita. So when I say, let's just say I go door to door and I meet, an Indian family opens the door, right? Okay, this whole script I just taught you doesn't apply. So what I do is I just greet them, you know, with pranams. I say, oh, it's wonderful to meet you. We're all out here today, and we're going all over Naperville. In fact, we're all over Illinois, all over America, and we're setting up. I indicate you already know about this. This is what we're doing. Actually, just one step back. When they open the door, I ask them about themselves. Where are you from? What part of India? And just really appreciate who they are. And then I don't introduce what we're doing right away, but generally they'll ask, you know, so what are you doing? And if they don't, then I just naturally introduce it after asking them about themselves, and I'll say, well, you already know Bhagavad Gita. Your mother knew Bhagavad Gita. Your grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. And so what we're doing is something you know better than me. We're setting up schools for Bhagavad Gita all over America. And we're distributing these books to motels, hospitals. And it's that nowadays there are many problems and friction in the world due to lack of spiritual knowledge. So we're doing a voluntary effort to spread the spiritual knowledge all over the world, and we're introducing Bhagavad Gita, because as you know, it's the most important spiritual book in the world. And so I say, so what we're doing, and I'm not handing him anything, no cards, no book, nothing, I'm just standing at the door and say, what we're doing is a fundraiser, and we're collecting money to help set up the schools and teaching Bhagavad Gita and to distribute Bhagavad Gita's all over the world. We even do it in different languages. And when you say fundraiser, they'll say, fantastic, I'll be happy to help. You tell them Bhagavad Gita, then they'll say, yes, I will give. And so this is what they're happy to do, is to give something. And after they give, then you can start giving them books. And then they'll be extra happy that they were able to give, and they're able to also get a book on top of it. Did you have a doubt about that? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, there's these traditional kind of Indians who may appreciate that, but then there's these in-between kind of people who are really confused, and they don't know if they're Indian or American, and they don't appreciate Bhagavad Gita, they don't really appreciate fundraising. So it feels like a mixed approach.
Ripe
like,
or unripe?
Like, you know, like the previous script, and maybe
something.
Are they
ripe or unripe?
Kind of unripe.
Okay, then like, what's our duty with unripe fruits?
Just leave a good impression.
Leave them on the vine?
Leave a good impression.
Leave a good impression and let them stay on the vine for a while. There are people who are secular Indians. They may not be, but they're also ripe fruits. They're like, oh yeah, this is cool. This is yoga, right? Then you pick up on that. A ripe fruit's a ripe fruit. It doesn't matter what culture they're from. It has to do with their internal situation. So just because somebody's India, don't assume that they have to be into this or they have to be a ripe fruit. In any culture, it doesn't matter which one. If you walk in and you see, this is somebody who's averse to what I'm doing. They have some objection to it deeply inside them. Just be nice to them and make the goal not to sell them the book, but to leave everyone with a good impression. And then what you do is you stay above the fray. You don't get involved in this internal things like, God, they should have taken a book. They're an Indian. You know, and then you get all tied up in knots. Stay above that. Just be free and be happy and go out and make friends with people and look for the people who volunteer. Say, yeah, we've been looking for this. Or, yeah, we'd be happy to help. We went in Toronto, was there recently. We're going, whole apartment complex were Muslims. And we didn't prejudge. We just kept going. And 99% of them were more favorable than most Hindus we meet. They'll invite us in. It's like, wow, Bhagavad Gita, I always wanted to read this. They give you $20 and whatever. Ripe fruits are where you find them, in any culture. But with Indians generally, the reason I hold back on handing them a Bhagavad Gita up front is because it insults them. Because generally they kind of feel like, I already know Bhagavad Gita, why are you giving it to me? They'll start to resist. So rather than that, you unpack all of the things that they were going to say, which is, I know Bhagavad Gita, I already... my whole family has Bhagavad Gita. My grandmother memorized Bhagavad Gita. Just that you tell them that first. And then if you're, like, in front of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, during the last Ekadashi in Kartik, we go out and distribute books in front of the temple. And here's what we say, because it's 99% Indians, Hindus. And we'll hand them the book and we'll say, this is not for you. This is not for you. This is not for you. Because they're about to say, you know, that I already have this. My mother knows it. My grandmother memorized it. And I say, I know. This is not for you. This is for somebody else. Because you already know about this. That's what they're going to tell me. And you say, what we're doing here is spreading Bhagavad Gita. And Krishna says that somebody who spreads Bhagavad Gita is most dear to him. So what we're doing is giving to people like you who are already experts. You already know about this. and allowing you to pass it on to somebody else. And the person before you already paid for it, so you could have it for free, and now you can pay for the next person. So if you do that, like, take away their natural objections, then it clears the way. Is that all right? Okay. Sorry, we're over time, so we'll just take a couple more, and then we'll answer more questions as we go along in the weekend. Yes.
How about in the situations when you have a ripe person that you sense and you go through, but the companion on another person who is very unripe influence, like, you know, that the pig shop guy who went into this
I went into
you
a
got
pig
the
shop.
Ripe guy, and then the father was very opposed and influenced.
So generally, and I didn't see that one coming because I had my back turned to him, but if there's a group and there's positive ripe fruit and then there's negative, I always deal with the negative one first. Neutralize the negative by giving attention and appreciating, by asking questions. Oh, really? Where are you from? Where'd you go to school? Oh, wow, that's amazing. If you give them a little attention, it tends to calm them down a little bit. And then you can go back. The ripe fruit's always going to be ripe, and then you can turn back to the ripe fruit. That's generally what I do. So if I saw the father coming, we walked into a pig shop, and I'm not going to go into details, but I was showing the person behind the counter who happened to be the son of the owner, and he was favorable. He was looking to give a donation, and his father walked behind me and is like, don't do it. And then I saw he changed. And if I had seen him coming, I would have engaged the father. Beautiful shop you have here. What part of Mexico are you from? I was just there, blah, blah, blah. And make friends before, so it's a little bit neutralized. Okay? Yeah. We'll just take two more. One, two.
Prabhu, I have one question about the radar.
About what?
About the radar.
Radar, yes. Radar.
So, I have often experienced it. One after another, we see unripe fruits. We are showing the radar, and one after another, we see the unripe fruit. So how do we deal with that emotion?
Wait for the ripe fruit. I've experienced it too. Hi, 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 and they just keep going. Just know the fact that there are ripe fruits and unripe fruits. And the more unripe fruits you meet, you're getting closer to the ripe ones. There's never a case when it's all unripe fruits. The world's mixed. There's ripe and unripe fruits. And if you're just a little patient and don't lose heart and you just keep going, you'll run into the ripe fruits. See, I go out and I show people how to distribute books. That's a lot of pressure on me because everyone wants to see, okay, perform now. Let's see you perform. And I'm looking at Krishna and say, okay, Krishna, let's see us perform now. I don't know what's going to happen. And I remember one time I took devotees door to door, and for the first half an hour, everybody was an unripe fruit. Everyone said, no, I'm not interested, go away. But I have enough experience to know, because I've been doing this for a long time, that if you just keep going, everything will turn out okay. And just be patient, and don't do it for result. You're not going out there to sell books. You're going out there for self-purification. If you're meeting a lot of unripe fruits, one after another, you should be happy because you're getting more spiritual blood. But eventually, after my half an hour, then I was just patient. I calmed down. I used what Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita, don't be attached to the fruits, be equipoised in loss or gain, victory or defeat. And I just flipped the switch on the back of my neck and I turned into a robot and said, what do I care? Ripe or unripe fruit, doesn't matter anything to me. I'm just doing my duty. And eventually, then the next person opened the door after half an hour and said, absolutely, fantastic, I've been waiting for you. And this will always happen. In fact, when I was going out by myself for a long time, I think about 3-4 years I went out all by myself because I had a spot, San Francisco Airport, and everybody else left. And there I was by myself. That's a little more challenging on the mind because you don't have a party to go out with. So what I did was I made a little card with a grid, and it showed every kind of response that everybody could possibly make. One would be they ignored me. One would be they looked, but then they ignored me. Then one would be they came over, but they refused. One would be they came over and they took a book, but they barely gave a donation. One may came over and they gave an okay donation. One they came over and they gave a huge donation. I covered every scenario there could possibly be. And all I would do, every time I'd call somebody, they would respond, and I just tick off the category that they fell into. And I found out at the end of the day, no matter which day it was, it always shake out in a certain way. There's a certain number of responses you're going to get. And I just did it mechanically. So you just keep going. And you'll see.
Prabhu, just a clarification on that radar part. Sometimes when you wave the hand, some people may not be waving, but they might be receptive enough. So yeah. Is it that we always go by the response?
Well, generally I'm looking to make a conscious connection with people. So I'm looking for their eyes. And the face is the index of the mind. So if I say hi and they go like that, and they go, California, where are you from? And then it's one of these. And if they do that, then you're coming in closer. And so I'm California, where are you from? I'm from such and such. Great, I'll show you one too. And then you put the book out so they can take a look at it.
And a follow-up question is, sometimes we meet people from interfaiths, like Christianity, Muslim. They say that I'm a Muslim and they are under the perception that this Bhagavad Gita is meant for Hindus. So, as you also said, ask questions on what is Hindu. And
yeah,
so
sometimes they're like that and they'll reject it. And other times they'll very much appreciate it. I met a Christian recently in Toronto in front of the museum. And I said, Bhagavad Gita? And he said, oh, I'm a Christian. And I said, if we have more people like you in the world, it would be a better place to live. I said, it's people of faith like you who are keeping the world afloat. And then I just kept on presenting. And he gave me $20 and took the book. So just appreciate who they are and keep going. And until they reject it, that's their business. It's not your business. You just present. And if they take it, fine. If they don't take it, then you move on to the next person and leave that person with a good impression. That's your job. What's your prime directive?
One with good impression.
Is our prime directive to sell everybody a book? No, so don't worry about it. It's not up to you. It's up to Krishna's arrangement. And you'll find that he'll make very nice arrangements for you. Okay? So, last one from our... Yes.
After breakfast, are we going to reassemble here and somebody going to explain where we are going? I'm asking this question because downtown Napier will, they don't allow, from what I remember, that they never used to allow on the street anybody.
We're not going downtown.
So is somebody going to explain where we are going and all that stuff? Because...
Who's explaining? Okay, so after breakfast, we'll gather in here and we'll divide you up into groups. We're not going downtown. We're going to several areas, for instance, a door-to-door area. And I'm also going to introduce how you can go in a strip mall and meet the owner and show the owner, and the owner will be very happy to take. And so one group is going to go there, and I'm going to show the devotees how to do that, and then I'll integrate with the other groups. And then we'll bring one of the other groups from door to door to another strip mall, and I'll go there, and I'll be moving around from one to the next. And all the environments will be ones that you're familiar with, and if you're not, I'll be there with you to introduce it. And each one of the groups that goes out will also have a leader so that it's kept organized and that you have somebody to watch. And also, if you don't feel like distributing, just watch and just be there, because all we're doing today is touching the pavement. And once you do that, then everything else is extra. And also, the hardest part of book distribution is getting from one point to the next. It's troop movement that's difficult. It's not the distribution. That's the easy part. The hardest part is moving everybody in cars, going from one place to the next, finding the address without holding your GPS in front of your face while you're driving and all those kinds of things. So be careful. Yes, Mataji? Okay, please tell us. I'm sorry we're over schedule.
It's prasadam for everyone, so maybe 11:15.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Please come back at 11:15, and we'll get ready to go out. We're just going out for a few hours, touch the pavement, see what it's like to be out there together, and then have a few experiences. Anything else? Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Nittai Gora Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nittai Gora Hari Bol.
Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.